Start in a word of prayer.
Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercies to us. Lord, we pray for a morning of learning from Your Word and more importantly, to apply in our lives. We pray for many who are coming in this rain that Thou will provide safety to them. We pray for many who are sick and not able to be with us. We pray for Thy healing hands upon many who are ill and in bed. We pray for Thy goodness to them, to heal them, that they may be revived and be able to do their daily chores and be mobile and to praise Thee and thank Thee and testify of Thy goodness to them, for healing them. We pray for this morning's class especially on the crossing of the Red Sea, that it may be a reminder to all of us to do righteously, to turn away from evil, and to cry out to Thee. Thou will hear us and deliver us. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. So background, in the past couple of lessons, we went through the 10 plagues and Pharaoh then released the Israelites after the 10th plague. And Moses and the Israelites left Egypt. But God hardened Pharaoh's heart to change his mind. That means instead of allowing the Israelites to go freely, He changed His mind and pursued after the Israelites. And let me read to you Exodus 14:1-4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Harah, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. So God told the Israelites to camp next to the sea at this place called Pi Harah. Okay. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. God is telling Moses here. Pharaoh, when he sees the Israelites being locked in this land next to the sea, will say to himself that they have sandwiched themselves in that piece of land, unable to get across the sea. At the same time, cannot turn backwards because the Egyptians are pursuing them from the back. So they are shut in. Yeah. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So God says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh will pursue the Israelites to that end piece of land facing the sea. But I will be honored. I will come out. I, God Almighty, will be victorious. Yeah. Upon Pharaoh and all his army, so that they will know I am the Lord. So that was God's plan. So let's watch video 14, chapter 14. I want you to notice how weak and fearful the Israelites were, notwithstanding that the Israelites went through 10 plagues, and right through the 10 plagues, they were saved. They were not harmed by any of the plagues, even until the 10th plague, where the firstborn were destroyed, the Israelites were in a good position. Nobody was destroyed in the 10th plague. And God delivered them from the... And then you watch the video, God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians and how God destroyed the Egyptian army to His glory. So let us watch this video.
It's
Speak to the children of Israel that they turn back and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, before Baal Zephon. You shall encamp opposite it by the sea. Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will follow after them. And I will get honor over Pharaoh and over all his armies, and the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh. They did so. It was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was changed towards the people. And they said, what is this we have done, that we have let Israel go from serving us? He made ready his chariot and took his army with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over all of them. Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, for the children of Israel went out with a high hand. The Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they were very afraid. The children of Israel cried out to Yahweh. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you treated us this way, to bring us forth out of Egypt? Isn't this the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it were better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. Yahweh will fight for you, and you shall be still. Yahweh said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go into the midst of the sea on dry ground. I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall go in after them. And I will get myself honor over Pharaoh, and over all his armies, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. The Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh, when I have gotten myself honor over Pharaoh, over his chariots, and over his horsemen. The angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. It came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel, and there was a cloud and the darkness, yet it gave it light by night, and the one didn't come near the other all that night. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Yahweh caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea a dry land, and the waters were divided. The children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. It happened in the morning watch that Yahweh looked out on the Egyptian army through the pillar of fire and of cloud and confused the Egyptian army. He took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let's flee from the face of Israel, for Yahweh fights for them against the Egyptians. Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come again on the Egyptians, on their chariots, and on their horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, even all Pharaoh's army that went in after them into the sea. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work which Yahweh did to the Egyptians, and the people feared Yahweh, and they believed in Yahweh and in his servant Moses.
All right, so we watched the video, and I'd like to show you where this Pihahiroth is. In this map, you see the map in front of you on the screen, and that's Goshen, where the Israelites came out from, and they went towards the east, and then they made a turn and went to Pi Harah, which is next to the sea. And that was the place where you saw the land where they were hemmed in between the sea and the Egyptians' army. And they crossed here, across the Red Sea, to over to the other side. And then their destination, they were going southeast all the way to Mount Sinai, here in the south. So let's look at the flowchart of what happened just now. The video shows a very general sweep of the events that happened at the crossing of the Red Sea. So first of all, there was God's plan for the Israelites to be hemmed in between the sea and Egyptian army. If you read just now, when I read Exodus 14:1-4, God will harden Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh will pursue the Israelites, and the Israelites were full of fear as they were hemmed in between the sea and the Egyptian army. Of course, it was God's plan for the Israelites to be hemmed in, because then Pharaoh will see and said, oh, they have trapped themselves between the sea and the army. They are doomed. And Pharaoh and his army will then go in and destroy the Israelites. So that was God's plan. Yeah? But of course, unknowing to Pharaoh, God has also planned that the sea will open up for the Israelites to cross. And then if the Pharaoh and army pursuing the Israelites crossing the Red Sea will be destroyed by the sea. That was the whole of God's plan. So how does that plan apply to us in our life today? Sometimes we do not understand God's plan for us. Like the Israelites, they were full of fear. They blamed Moses. Look, the sea is before us. The Egyptian army is behind us. We are dead. We are like that, you know. We look at the troubling situation. What can we do? Yeah? We have trouble ahead of us. And who can help us? But God may yet rescue us, just as he rescued the Israelites with his will. So, do not be troubled if we have God. And the surprising thing here is, the Israelites went through the 10 plagues. Yeah? They went through the 10 plagues, and so they should know better that God was on their side, right through. The 10 plagues were all targeted at the Egyptians. Until the last of the 10th, where the Egyptian firstborn had to die. But God was with the Israelites. But yet, you read verse 10 to 12. Let me read for you verse 10 to 12. What did they do when they saw the Egyptians coming, pursuing them from behind? And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Are there no graves in Egypt that you have brought us out to the wilderness to die? They sort of accused Moses. Why have you done this to us? Keeping in mind, you know, 10 plagues just come and went. They went through the experience of God's power and protection. And yet they were fearful. So oftentimes we are fearful of events due to lack of faith by the Israelites. We may have experienced God's deliverance in the past, yet we are still fearful. So we are not that unlike the Israelites. Eh? Sometimes we read and say, look, how can it be? The Israelites, they experienced God's care even the 10 plagues and the miracles and everything, and yet they are fearful. Haven't we also experienced God's mercy, protection, and deliverance in the past? And when trouble comes ahead, we are also fearful. And then Moses assured the Israelites that the Lord will fight for them. They need only be still. Verses 13 to 14. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." So of course, Moses is full of confidence. His intimacy with God is different from the Israelites. He has this close encounter with God, so-called face-to-face. God tells him, and he hears from God. So he knows what God is up to, and he knew God's plan about delivering them from the Red Sea. So he assured the Israelites that God will fight for them. They need not fight the Egyptians. They just need to keep still. So we are weak and fearful. And where do we get our assurance from for ourselves? God's word. We don't have Moses telling us to trust in God, but we have God's word in our hand. And we read, God is always assuring us that he is taking care of us. And how should we go about getting his assurance, getting his protection? He also tells us, be righteous, turn away from evil, do good. Psalm 34:15. Prayer. When we are weak and fearful, we pray. And who was the one who prayed a lot when he was weak and fearful in the Bible? King David. All the Psalms of King David. His prayer records his prayer to God when he was fearful of his enemies. His enemies were coming to kill him. King Saul, Absalom, many enemies of his. And he was full of fear. And you read how he cried out to God for protection in the Psalms. For ourselves, we can also turn to pastor, church leaders, and Christian friends for counseling, for help. And then after Moses assured the Israelites, God protected the Israelites. Yeah? Verses 19 to 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. In the earlier chapters, we read that when the Israelites were moving as one whole contingent, God was leading them right ahead, in front of them, in a pillar of cloud in the day, and a pillar of fire by night. But now, this pillar of cloud went behind them to protect them from the oncoming Egyptian army. And see how God is ever protective of his people. So God also protects us if we are the righteous. Yeah. And let me read again one of my favorite verses. It's Psalm 34:15. Psalm 34:15 of God's protection. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. In other words, he takes care of the righteous people. His eyes are on the righteous. And his ears are open unto their cry. He listens to the cry of the righteous. He protects the righteous. Who are the righteous? People who do good, who does what God wants them to do, who obeys him, turn away from evil, turn away from deceit. lies and pride and jealousy, covetousness. These are the righteous, and God will take care of them, and his ears are open to their cry. Right? Let me move back to Exodus 14. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the Israelites went through the dry land, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. So it's nothing short of a miracle. God separated the Red Sea. It was like a wall on the left and a wall on the right. And the Israelites walked through on dry ground. Like what you saw on the video just now. Right? And this is what God did to protect his people. And so will we be protected as his, as God's righteous people. Yeah? And then what happened next? Verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all the Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. So the Egyptians pursued into the Red Sea, because the Red Sea now is divided. A wall of water on the left, a wall of water on the right, and in the middle is dry land. And Israelites have gone right through, and the Egyptians' army pursued from behind. And then God caused the Egyptians' army to be confused. Yeah? It says in verse 24, God looked upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptians. There was some confusion as the Egyptians' army were pursuing from behind. Yeah? And that was God's doing. So it is. God was confusing the wicked Egyptian army that they will not be able to catch up with the Israelites. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, verse 26, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. So, God caused the water to engulf the Egyptian army when they were in the Red Sea. Drowned all of them, immersed all of them. And that's punishment for the Egyptian army. So there you are. God punished the Egyptian army for their unbelief and for their wickedness. Will we face punishment if we are not right with God? Answer is yes. But there is a difference between the judgment of the unbelievers and punishment for the believers. Judgment of the unbelievers is that they ultimately will be cast into the lake of everlasting fire. Those who do not believe in God, They will be punished and cast into the lake of everlasting fire. That's found in Revelation chapter 20, 14 to 15. But for the believers, God's punishment for the believers are to reform the believers, just as a loving father disciplines his children, so that we behave properly. Believers will be saved. So therein lies the difference between believers and non-believers. So what is the conclusion arising from this lesson? Spiritual lesson here. In the parting of the Red Sea, God saved the Israelites. God destroyed the Egyptian army and taught the Israelites respect, fear, and trust in God. He brought glory to God. So how is it to be applied to us? How is it to be applied to us? We also have experienced much trouble and help from God. And similarly, when we have difficulties in front of us, we would cry out to God for deliverance. God delivers us. We experience His deliverance and we grow in our faith. So in this, it is sort of a parallel with the Israelites. It was the objective of God through these lessons to grow the faith of the Israelites in Him. That's why all the 10 plagues showing God's miraculous protection and His power over the Egyptian Pharaoh and Egyptian people and destroying the firstborn, showing God is almighty, Pharaoh is weak, dividing the sea, causing the Israelites to pass, but destroying the Egyptian army. It gives a glimpse of God's power and God's protection for the Israelites. And the Israelites, when they see this, they learn to trust God, how God protected each step of the way for them to escape from Pharaoh. So it is the same for us. We go through many troubles in our life. And we are one. Why? We are Christians. We are blessed. We are the blessed believers. Why do we face so many troubles, difficulties at work, in the family, with friends, colleagues, bosses? Why? God is leading us through difficulties to grow our faith in Him. And when you look back, I'm sure you come across many instances where, yes, I have trouble. Health, work, bosses and colleagues, even in the family, but God has led me through, delivered me. And so this is how we should grow in our faith. That through troubles, we learn to grow in our faith. So why did God save the Israelites? Because Israelites are good. Why did God want to save the Israelites from the Red Sea? Egyptians are bad, Israelites are good. God saved the good Israelites and destroyed the bad Egyptians. Is that our answer? Are the Israelites really good? Remember what they say earlier on. Did they pass the test? What did the Israelites say to Moses when they saw the Egyptians pursuing after them? They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Verse 14, Exodus 14, verse 11, sorry. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Did they trust in God? After, if you read this verse, they told Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have brought us out to the wilderness to die? We are either going to be drowned in the Red Sea or killed by the Egyptian army. Why have you done this to us? Where? So, brothers and sisters, we look. Where is the faith of the Israelite people? After 10 plagues, they are still faithless. And you and I will say, no, if we go to 10 plagues, we will not say this. Is that true? It's a reflection of all of us. Even though we go through trials and tribulations God delivered us in the past, the next trial comes, we will be fearful, just as the Israelites. And there is something we should learn here, that we are not really unlike the Israelites in terms of our faith. When there's a big storm, we are fearful. It's quite common. And God is trying to put us through small storms, medium storms, big storms, bigger storms, to grow our faith. Because ultimately, God saved the Israelites because God was merciful. They failed the test here. They accused Moses of doing bad to them, bringing them out to the wilderness to die. They might as well die in Egypt. They still have food in Egypt. So why didn't God just destroy the Israelites because of their little faith? They are not worth the people to be saved. Why didn't God just destroy them? God was merciful. God was merciful to the Israelites. Because as we go on in the study of our book on Exodus, you will learn that much later in the story, God says, because of the disbelief of this generation of the Israelites, they will all die, all perish in the wilderness. They will never get to the promised land. But ultimately, that generation died in the wilderness. They never got to Canaan. And why didn't God destroy them from the start? The mercy of God. So we are all here because of the mercy of God. We are all here because of the mercy of God. Not because we are good, not because we obey, or we are full of faith, we are holy, we have turned from evil. But God is merciful and He has preserved us. And He continues to teach us many valuable lessons of faith so that we will grow to trust Him. So what about the Egyptian army? Why did God destroy the Egyptian army and not give them mercy like He showed mercy to the Israelites? Because the Egyptians were unbelieving and refused to change. When Moses went to see Pharaoh and says God has sent him to lead the slaves out of Canaan, out of Egypt, Pharaoh said to Moses, "Who is this God of yours? I do not know him. I am not going to allow my slaves to leave me." And told Moses to leave. So it's this with disbelief. And then the 10 plagues came. And Pharaoh refused, despite the 10 plagues, refused to believe, refused to change, to allow the slaves to leave. And even after the death of the crown prince of Egypt in the 10th plague, That was a very severe judgment for Pharaoh. Because to a king, the most important thing that he must have is his successor. It's not the riches, it's not the gold and silver. It's his crown prince, preservation of a successor. And God struck at his successor. The eldest son had to die. And then he relented to allow the Israelites to leave. But even then, God hardened his heart. And he changed his mind and pursued after the Israelites. And God had to destroy his whole army in the sea to show to the world the might and power of God against the most powerful person then in history of mankind, the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh is no match for God. God shall have all the glory. And so, Egypt and Pharaoh was destroyed because they were unbelievers and they do not obey God when God wants his people out of Egypt. So that's why the Egyptians were destroyed and the Israelites were saved through the Red Sea. Israelites have the mercy of God. Egyptians do not have the mercy of God because they just refuse to accept God, refuse to obey, and God punished them. So through this lesson, it taught the Israelites respect, fear, and trust in God. Yes? Taught the Israelites respect, fear, and trust in God. But again, was this a good lesson for the Israelites? Did the Israelites learn from this lesson? We move on further in our lesson, you'll find that lots of grumbling and murmurings from the Israelites. No water, no food, so on and so forth. After crossing of the Red Sea, the 10 plagues, all the pillar of fire, pillar of clouds, God was in their midst, they are still grumbling of no food. Have they learned their lessons? It appears not. So we shall learn further in the lesson that follows. How the Israelites continue to test God. They continue to murmur and grumble against him. So, after the Israelites have crossed the Red Sea, they praise and thank God in song. That we will see in our next lesson. And the spiritual lesson from here is that when we are delivered, we should also praise and thank God. Testify of his goodness. This will bring glory to God and others to the faith. So, conclusion of this episode, the parting of the Red Sea teaches us important spiritual lesson. In difficult situations, we are filled with distress and fear. And that's quite common, yeah? As the righteous, we are people of the righteous. We strive to obey God. As the righteous people, we cry out to God, and he hears our cry. Psalm 34:15. God will deliver us. Psalm 34:17-18. And let me read this important part. Psalm 34:17-18. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their trouble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. Very comforting psalm. The Lord will deliver the righteous out of all their trouble. But we must be the righteous. We must be qualified as the righteous. And thereafter, after we are delivered, we praise, thank God, and testify of goodness. Psalm 66, 16 to 20. Psalm 66, 16 to 20. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. So this psalmist was very happy. He asked all the people to come and listen to what he has to say because God has delivered him from trouble. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. So this psalmist cried unto God. And he praises God. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So here the psalmist tells us an important advice. If I'm wicked in my heart, if there's wickedness and evil in my heart, deceitfulness, pride, jealousy, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord will not take care of me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. God hears the psalmist because he has made peace with God. He has repented of his sin, never to do wickedness and evil again. And he said now, in verse 19, verily God hath heard me. Yeah? God hath heard him because he has repented. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. God has delivered him. Attended to him and delivered him. Blessed be God which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So he praised God in front of all his friends. How good God was, that God delivered him, and he has turned away from his wickedness and evil. So we must do the same. We must praise God, thank him, and important, very important, testify of his goodness, as what this psalmist has done in Psalm 66. As we remember his faithfulness, we grow in faith. So as we talk about God's faithfulness to us in delivering us our trouble, it reminds ourselves that we have a faithful God who will take care of us, deliver us from trouble, heal us of our diseases and sickness. So that is the importance of this lesson. So let us end in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this moment of important lesson. How we live by Thy mercy, and despite our belief in Thee, we are still fearful and distressed by many things in our life. And Lord, we pray that Thou will not punish us or consume us with Thy wrath for our little faith in our weakness. For Thou knowest we are made of flesh and blood and mortal. But we cry out to Thee to seek Thy forgiveness. Help us to turn away from our sin, and to do good, to do that which delight in Thee always. Help us to love our enemies as Thou hast commanded. Help us to forgive others who has provoked us and made life difficult for us. Lord, we know it is difficult, but yet it is Thy word to us, and we must obey. Help us to be righteous, that You will hear us and watch over us, care for us, deliver us from our troubles. Help us also to reflect upon all thy deliverance to us in the past. And remember that thou art a faithful God. Thou wilt yet still deliver us from our future troubles, because thou art our loving Heavenly Father, and we are thy children. Forgive us all our sins and transgression, and deliver us from our trouble. We ask all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming.